And this is a, this is, you know, the older I get, the more simple is better. And this is a simple little song. It's not going to change the whole world, but it has such great teaching in it to help us to understand it, to help us to understand how wonderful, how great, and how powerful God is. What can God do? What can God accomplish? Well, we know that there's a great many things that God can do, that God can accomplish, and we've got to recognize that. But I want you to know that there's some things that God cannot do, and we want to talk about some of those today. Now, I had six when I started, but I cut that down to three. Aren't y'all glad? Amen. Okay, y'all just sit there. I'll do the whole thing by myself. Don't worry about it. You'll get the other three a little bit later. But I want to see three things today that God cannot do. Now, the passage that was read in your hearing in Jeremiah, it was one. I'm supposed to hit this button. Okay. The passage that was read in your hearing a while ago was from Jeremiah 27 or 32, verse 17. We're going to look at verse 27 too in a minute, but Jeremiah is writing to the people, the children of Israel, about ready to go into 70 years of captivity. They're going there because they did not listen to God. They would not change. They listened to the world. They followed the world. And what God said is, you're going to have to go into captivity. That was Jeremiah's sermon. Now, you know, preachers get to preach some great sermons, but sometimes you have to preach those sermons that people just do not want to hear. And these people did not want to hear Jeremiah's sermon. It had to do not only with what God wanted them to do, but it had to do with the pride of that nation. Now, what would it be and how would you feel if I stood up here today or Mark stood up here today and we just said, you know, America is going to go into captivity. America is going to fall because of its sin. Well, now, because of the audience that we have, many of you would agree to that and say that's a possibility, a great possibility. But I want you to understand something. These people did not like it, and they didn't want to hear it. But Jeremiah is coming at this time, right before they go in. About a year later, they're going to go into captivity. But as for right now, they're still a nation of people who are in rebellion against God, and they don't think anybody can bother them because God's on their side. Let me tell you something. Don't worry about God being on your side. He always is. What we've got to do is to worry about that we're on God's side. That's the important thing. So Jeremiah comes to these people and he tries to help them to understand this. Now if you read this whole chapter here, what God has told Jeremiah to do, he said, I want you to go out and buy a field. I want you to let everybody know you've bought the field. I want you to let everybody know that you've paid a great price for that field. And I want you to take that deed that you have, and I want you to place it in the hands of someone that they know that will not go into captivity, that will not die. I want you to give it to them. And this is a significant thing because the people need to know that they're coming back. Now, if you paid a great deal for land, you're going to come back to that. It's not that you're going to pay for it knowing you're going to go away. But he said, listen, you're going to go away into captivity, but understand you're coming back. I've just bought some property, and I'm going to come back. My children are. And they're going to have a portion of that property because I know that God's going to do that. God's going to return you. Now, we can hear that we're in sin. We can know that we're in sin. But what we've got to know is that God has the power to bring us out of that if we want to follow His will. Now, many times the things that God cannot do have to do with our will and what we want. But I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. Not only in verse 17 here, O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great, powerful, and outstretched arms. You're not weak, God. You're strong. There is nothing that you too hard for you to do. Then we go down to verse 27 of this chapter. Listen to what he says here. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God was saying to them, I have the power to put you in captivity. I have the power to bring you out of captivity. God has the power to help us to deal with sin in our life, and we need to know that. We need to understand that. He has the power to save us. There's not a person who cannot be saved by God. I'm telling you, there's not anybody that has sinned so much that God cannot save them. If they will turn to God, if they will repent of their sins, if they will do those things that God has told them to do to cleanse themselves and to make them pure before Him, God will save them. All right, now, let's look at some of these things. First thing I want you to see, got to get this thing and get this started. Things God cannot do. God cannot sin. Now, if you want to turn to Leviticus here, and let's look at what he has to say here. In Leviticus, the 11th chapter and verse 44, listen to what God says through His prophet. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, another passage, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. He's saying here, listen, God is holy. Why are you a Christian? Why do you serve God? Why do you do God's will? Some people serve Christianity and they serve God only because they're afraid of going to hell. That's the only reason. You're scared into it. Let me tell you something. You can't scare people into heaven. You might cause the body to do some things, but you've got a spirit, you've got a soul, and that's very important. Here it's saying the reason you need to be holy is because your God is holy. That's the reason we've got to be holy. That's the reason we've got to serve God. Why? Because of who He is and how powerful He is. But He's not going to sin. He's going to do what's right and what's good. He's going to treat you right and treat you good. You know, maybe there's some people that they may say they're going to do something for us, but we're kind of hesitant to believe that. And so we, you know, maybe government officials, you know, we have all the politicians going on now and they tell us all this stuff and talk about all this stuff and they're hours and hours talking about it. And we're sitting there going, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think that's going to go. He's just talking to get elected. You ever said that? He's just saying these things to get elected. And when he's elected, then he's going to do what he wants to. And basically, that's what politicians do many times. If I'm wrong, tell me. But let me tell you something. You can always depend on God to cover sins. He has the power to do that. But he will not sin. Now, understand, God cannot have, he can't have sin in his presence. He is holy. Go back to the cross. Here's Jesus on the cross there. He's hanging up there. And the sins of the world are placed on his shoulders. He dies for your sins and for my sins. What happens? World becomes dark. What words does Jesus utter there out of those seven sayings that he does? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why had God turned his back on his son? Why had he turned away from his son so much that even the world became dark? Because his son at that time was covered with our sins and the sins of all of humanity for all of time. God could not look at his son at that time. I hope you see the love that God had for you. I hope you understand that because he could not look at his son, and the reason he couldn't do that is because of us, because of our sins, so that we could be clean. So here's this God who cannot have anything to do with sin, and he goes so far as he has to turn his back on his own son because of sin. God cannot have that in his presence. But look as we go on, Habakkuk 1 and verse 13, God said there, your eyes are too pure, talking about God. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. He says, God, you don't even look at sin. You turn your back on it. Remember the son. You turn away from it. What does he want you to do? He wants you not to even look at it. Somebody says, well, I'm just going to get a little glimpse at it. No, keep your eyes off of it. Stay away from it. We've got to understand that. We've got to stay away from sin. We've got to keep our eyes away from it. We've got to turn away from it. Why? Because that's what God does. Now, can God handle sin? Could God look at sin and still deal with it? Yes, He could. But you see, He's holy. He's not going to do that. If we're holy, what are we supposed to do? Watch what you look at. Watch what you see. God cannot tolerate sin. He cannot allow sin to be a part of Him, and He will not sin. And He wants us not to sin. And you see, He could just look at us and say, this is a lost cause. Look at these people. I've cleansed them. I've made them right. But look at what they're doing. They go right back into sin. That's not our God. Our God said, you come to me and I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. I'll make you whole. I'll apply my Son's blood to you, and all those sins will be cleansed away. Now, let me ask you, how long do you think it takes God? How long do you think it takes God when we go to Him and say, God, as a child of God, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. How long do you think it takes Him? Does He have to say, let me think about that, Charles? I don't get the picture of God waiting any time. You're forgiven. In fact, the Bible talks about people that God will not even impute sin to. He won't hold it against them. People that when they sin, they repent. When they sin, they turn away from it. They turn back to God as fast as they can. We've got a God who cannot see sin. He cannot tolerate sin. He doesn't want sin in His presence. He doesn't even want to see that. And you see, He's not going to sin. If He's not going to sin and I'm His child, what am I supposed to do? Keep myself pure. I don't need to look at sin. I need to turn away from it. I need to hide my eyes from it. I don't need to be in the presence of it. If there's other people that I know that they're sinning, I don't need to be in that group. I don't need to be standing there. I need to be taking myself and getting out of there. We talk about young people. Oh, if you go to these parties where there's drinking and sex and all this stuff, you just need to leave that. Let me tell you something, parents. When you go to the office and they do those things there, when you go out and you're working and they do those things there, wherever it's at, and you know it's wrong and you know it's evil, you get away from it. And young people, you do the same. Don't stay around it. Don't look at it. Because it can cost you. It can cost you the idea of looking at it. One of those things that Eve did was that she looked at the fruit and it looked real good. That's one of the things to get involved in sin. Now, secondly, God cannot lie. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Listen to what it says here. God hates six things. And then He says, wait a minute. There's seven of them. There's seven of them that God hates. Look at what they are. God hates a haughty eyes. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, false witnesses who utter lies, and ones who spread strife among the brethren. Two things He mentions in these seven things that He doesn't like. One of them is that God is not one that loves a lying tongue. He says, I don't like that. I don't like a lying tongue. I don't like a tongue that tells lies. But not only that, you go on down in the latter part of that reading there. He says, I don't like false witnesses. In fact, He says, I despise them. He says there, not only just that I despise them, I hate those things. I don't want that to be a part of it. Let me tell you something. You can always depend on God. People will let you down, God will never do it. Whatever God says He'll do, He'll do. He'll keep everything He says. We need to understand that. Because you see, there's some times when we wonder, is God really, you know, I've had people ask me, did God forgive me of that sin? Let me tell you something. If you repented of it, what happened? He forgave you. You're forgiven of it. You don't have to go back again. You don't have to go to God and ask Him to forgive you again. He's forgiven you. He's not going to lie to you. When he says, I can wash you and I can cleanse you and I can make you whole, God is going to do that. He's going to make sure that you're right with him. He's going to make sure that your sins are forgiven and you're not going to have to worry about that anymore. Those things are gone. We've got to understand that. We've got to recognize that. Our faith has to be enough that we trust in God, that we depend upon him. And you see, that's our whole problem. We're not sure if God's telling the truth or not. If you don't believe in him, you don't have faith in him. We've got to learn to believe in God. We've got to learn to trust in God. He's not going to do that. He hates lying tongues. He hates people that tell things that are not right. He doesn't like that. I mean, God hates? That's a powerful thing. If you say to somebody, I hate you, boy, now that's saying a whole lot. But if God hates something, isn't that important for us to recognize? Don't we need to see how awful that is? That God hates this lying tongue? Is God going to lie to you? No, he's not going to do it. So trust in him. Trust in what he says. Trust in what his word has to say. Listen to what Jesus was willing to say to people in John 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but in, by, through me. There's no other way to be saved. You believe that? You believe that's true? Yeah. Why? Because it's written there. Because I believe what God says. I'm going to trust in what he has to say. There's no other way to be saved. And you know, Mark was talking about it in the Bible class this morning, I saw a lady on television the other night. What she did is she had this way that she cleansed herself. She took diamonds and put it in water and sloshed them around. She put oils in there, and she had all these things in there, and she poured it all in a little bottle, and she'd take that stuff and rub it on her forehead. And she was talking about, oh, how wonderful that makes me feel. I feel so spiritual and all this. Why, lady, grow up. She said, it's rather expensive. And I'm thinking, yeah. If I got a diamond, I'm not soaking it in water and rub it all over me. I want to show it. But you just think about that. We look at that and we go, what is wrong with you that you would do something like that? Let me tell you something. You've got a God that's not going to lie to you. He's going to tell you the right way to make yourself right before him. And Jesus Christ is the only way. So God here is going to help us. God here is going to help us as we deal with sin in our life. He's going to be one that's going to encourage us. And he's not going to lie to us. He's always going to tell you the truth. Now, you may not like it. You may not appreciate it, but he's always going to tell you the truth. Had you rather somebody lie to you or tell you the truth even when it hurts? Now, I've jokingly said to some people, just lie to me. I don't think I can handle the truth. Well, let me tell you something. You better be able to handle the truth. And according to what this book says, you've got to handle it in the right way. You got to handle it as God would have you to handle it. Handle it in such a way that it's going to help you to be the best person that you can. That's what God wants you to do. Third point. See, y'all going to get out of here on time. Do I get paid if I cut it short? More? Okay. You're not going to say anything, are you? That's the way it goes. Look at this third one here. God cannot ignore sin. And he will not ignore sin. Understand that. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. It is appointed unto man to die one time. But after that, there is a judgment. Please understand, for every sin that is committed, someone has to pay for it. You have to pay for your own sin, or you allow Jesus Christ to do that. God will not ignore sin. And he stated that just word for word, so we can't misunderstand it. God cannot undo our sins. God cannot take away our thoughts. God cannot take away just that sin out of us unless we're willing to be those people that are willing to turn. If we're not willing to do that, please understand, God's not going to ignore it. As a parent, have you ever said to your children, I have told you 1,000 times? Or maybe you say, I've told you 1,000,000 times. What we've got to do is to understand God has said it, and He will not ignore it. And so what we've got to do is to get ourselves straightened out, to get ourselves as those people that we're willing to do what God wants us to do. Now, I want to show you something. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve have sinned. God had given them basically one rule. Don't eat of the tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. Wow, I need to give y'all a mic, y'all. He said, don't eat of that. They ate of it. Don't blame the woman. She did it because she was enticed. Men, you did it because you were told to. So don't blame the women for it. God went looking for them. Where are you? Look, in verse 9, he said, where are you? Then he comes down to verse 13 and he said, you know, who told you that you were naked? Who told you you didn't have any on any clothes? And then in that same verse, he said, have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Have you eaten of that tree? And then God said, what have you done in verse 13? What have you done? What have you done with this wonderful thing that I've given you? What have you done with this perfect place? What have you done with this place where sin was not found? What have you done? You've opened the door. Now, I want you to see how God dealt with sin. He went looking for the people that were sinning. Not only did he go looking for those people, he was willing to ask them, what have you done? Not only was he willing to ask them what they had done, he said, you have sinned. I told you not to eat of that tree, and you've done it. You've sinned. What have you done? You are in sin. God could have said at that moment, I can start all over. I can wipe them out. They're nothing but dirt. I can make some more. But God didn't do that. God said, I want to forgive them. And he worked out a plan, not only where Adam and Eve could be forgiven, but where all of humanity for all of time could be forgiven. That's because God says, listen, I can't ignore your wrongs. I can't ignore your sins. Not just I can't, I will not ignore your sin. Understand, I don't care what it is you've done. Do not think that God cannot see it. Do not think that God will overlook it. Do not think that God will just say, that's okay. He will cleanse us and make us right before Him if we're willing to give ourselves to Him. You see, God is not going to force us. And that's maybe one of the next points that you get sometime. God will not force you to do what's right. You've got a right. Now, when you got up this morning, you had the right to either get ready and come to church or not. That's your right. You've got a right to do that. Okay? You also have the right to sin if you want to. That's your business. But please understand, God will not ignore it. You see, you have rights, but God also has responsibility. And his responsibility is for every sin that's committed, there must be someone who will die for that sin. Either you will die for your sins or you will allow Jesus Christ to do that. God was one who, and it's good. We in the church need to go back to Genesis and start at the beginning and find out how God dealt with sin, and we need to deal with it the same way. We need to go talk to people that have sinned. We need to go talk to them with the right kind of heart, as Paul talks about in Galatians. Restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. We need to warn them of their sins. We need to plead with them to come out of that. We need to tell them that God will forgive you of every sin. And we also need to tell them that there's something God will not do. He will not ignore that. Listen, in Romans, the sixth chapter in verse 23, he said, the wages of sin is death. Now, if he had put a period there and ended that verse there, I'm telling you, it would have been a terrible thing. But let's look at the rest of the verse. The wages of sin is death. But God, look at this, but God, the gift of God is eternal life. That's the gospel part of it. It's not just that you're sinned. It's not just that you're in sin. It's not just that you're living that way. But it's that God has a gift for you, and it is eternal life. You don't deserve it. It's nothing you can earn. It's nothing you can make. But it's something that you receive from God. It is a gift of God. It is given to those people who are willing to say, I want to serve God. I want to do God's will. I want to follow God's way. The grace of God is a wonderful thing. But many people may stretch it way farther than it needs to be stretched. Because the grace of God will cleanse every one of us if we're willing to repent and we're willing to turn to God and comply with what His will is. That will of becoming a Christian. That will of being immersed in water to have our sins washed and cleansed away. That will, as a child of God, to be willing to repent of our sins. Please understand this. God will not ignore sin. Sin is like a cancer. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, Charles, you've got cancer. You know what I want to do? Not say, well, doc, let's look at this in 6 months and see what it looks like. I want to say, do you have a good sharp knife? Do you have some kind of treatment that I can take? I've seen people where doctors said, well, we'll look at this in 3 weeks. And those people are going, 3 weeks? What about today? What about right now? Let's get something done. Let me tell you something. That's the way we need to look at sin. That's the way we need to look at sin in our life. When we've sinned, we need to be starting thinking about how can I make this right with God? And I know I can make it right with God. And I know God will forgive me. Cut that cancer out. Get it out of me. Remove that. Whatever treatment you got to have. Lose my hair, that's okay. I can get some back, or I can get me a good wig. Or I can just let it go. What difference does it make? What if we looked at sin that way? Wouldn't we deal with it in a different way? Wouldn't we try to handle it in a different way? That's what God wants us to do. Okay, you're on your deathbed. You're about to die. And somebody says, let's go get the doctor to come in. I want the doctor to try to look at this and see what they can do. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad that we live in a country where we can go see a doctor and we can go to hospitals and we can do all those things because of this physical body? If we've got cancer, we can go to places. We can go to MD Anderson. We can go to Nashville. We can go to any place and say, listen, I want to get this thing straightened out. Let me tell you, every one of us are on our deathbed. Every one of us. None of us are going to get out of this world alive. We know that. But we don't really believe it. We believe we've got one opportunity, another chance, another time. God's not going to come. I'm not going to die. Let me tell you something. All of us are on our deathbed, and God recognized that, and God sent His Son down to this earth, the great physician, to heal us, to make us right. I mean, listen to what He says here. Listen to this. It's not the healthy that need the doctor, but it's those who are sick. Jesus came because we were on our deathbed, and we still are. You're going to die. And I'm not trying to scare you into heaven. I'm telling you the truth. What you've got to do is to make sure you come to the great physician and you do what He says. To have a doctor that tells you you need this kind of treatment or you need this kind of medicine and we just ignore it is silly. Don't even go to him. But if you know you have an illness, and we know we have the illness of sin, Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. So why don't we come to the great physician and say, heal me. heal me. Or as Christians, forgive me. There's not a person here today that cannot leave this building forgiven of their sins. Y'all believe that? But let me tell you something. God's not going to just do it because He's going to do it. God's going to do it because He is one that wants to save you. But it's your choice. The purpose of that